You're listening to the Naked Genetics podcast with me, Dr. Kat Arney. Still to come, we'll be finding out whether scientists could invent a distant DNA scanner. But now it's time to hear more from the Genetic Society Autumn Meeting, From Genes to Shape. Professor Ray Goldstein from the University of Cambridge studies how molecules organise themselves inside cells, focusing in particular on a plant-like algae called Cara. I asked him to describe to me what you can see inside the surprisingly large cells of these plants if you look down a microscope.
You'd see a beautiful stately flow of about up to a tenth of a millimetre per second. Sounds ridiculously slow, but by biological standards that's fast. In a kind of barber pole arrangement, two helical bands of flow, one going up the cell, one going down the cell, in this beautiful regular pattern. And you'd see various organelles within the cell being carried along by this streaming, driven by the action of motor proteins that walk along filaments. So, for instance, myosin walking along actin, or kinesin walking along microtubules, and carrying cargo of one sort or another. And the action of moving that cargo entrains fluid, and because there's some kind of long-range order in the filaments, one sees an ordered pattern of one degree or another in the fluid flow.
So we're not talking about just fluid sloshing about inside a big cell. This is a very, very organized system.
Well, there are two basic types. There are those that are super highly organized, regular geometric structures, and there are others that are more disordered, such as in the oocyte of the fruit fly, which is one commonly studied situation. But even there, it's not completely disordered. The microtubules that drive it are organized from the cell periphery, and although it looks a bit turbulent or chaotic to the eye, there is structure in it anyway. So it is a structured flow to some degree or another.
So what's the question that your work's trying to answer?
Our work on cytoplasmic streaming is fundamentally aimed at understanding its role in biology. There's been a lot of work over the centuries in visualizing it and quantifying it, but there's still not a clear indication of its purpose. That is it to mix the contents of the cell? Is it a byproduct of a transport process? It's very unclear, so we're trying to unravel this step by step.
So you can almost imagine this little army of proteins marching things around the cell. How do you study them, and how do you tell what they're up to?
Well, the first thing is one can visualize the flow independent of the driving force by having tracer particles of one sort or another. So they give you a direct readout of what the fluid flow is doing, but it's also possible to label the various agents going on here and actually to have a direct visualization in one sense or another of the cargo.
The fascinating thing about these kind of systems, the flows and all these things, is that they are completely directed within the cell by itself. They're self-organizing.
Correct.
What are the clues that we have so far about how these work?
Well, I would say that in the case of large plant cells, which is the one that I've been focusing on most, there are tantalizing experimental observations that show that you can disrupt the underlying network of the filaments, and when the chemicals that do that disruption are removed, the system can heal itself and reform the pattern of streaming, perhaps with a different precise origin and all of that, but it's the same basic pattern, just shifted around a bit, and that already speaks to self-organization. We also know that as some of these cells grow, the pattern changes in a systematic way. And this suggests that there's a very clear direction going on, but again, these further indicate self-organization process. And in the case of the more disordered flows, we have changes that occur during development that really speak to self-organization process. Some chemical that was present in large quantities at this point in time disappears, and then all of a sudden a new pattern emerges.
And how widely across biology do we see these properties of self-organization at this kind of level happening?
Well, without being too cliched, I think that it's fair to say that self-organization occurs on length scales ranging from a few microns to a few kilometers. You can look at wildebeest on the plains of the Serengeti, and you can see self-organization into coherent locomotion. You can see it in locust swarms, you can see it in bacteria in a petri dish, and you can see it inside a single cell. Now, it's wrong to just imagine that there's some single underlying mechanism crossing all those length scales, but the mathematical structure of a theory that would explain it can have some commonality.
And how close are we to coming up with these kind of theories, or is it just very complicated?
I think we're actually fairly close because certain model systems allow us to make measurements to test in detail the predictions of a theory. And so we can apply what's known as the scientific method. Here we are in the Royal Society, where Newton was so prominent, and it's thanks to him we really use the scientific method. We can use that and go back and forth between theory and experiment in a way that was not possible 10 or 15 years ago, thanks to technological advances of imaging and microscopy.
Now, some of the work that we've heard about today, it's looking at very specialized model systems, very rarefied things, or single cells. Do you think one day we will be able to describe the organization, for example, of an embryo, a human embryo, as it goes from one cell to many and all the things that move around there?
I certainly think we all believe so, and we tend to be very reductionist, so we start with simpler things where we think we'd have more capacity to understand all that's going on. But it's remarkable how much progress has been made. It mostly is a question of courage, I think. We just have to sort of launch down the path and try to figure out what it is we need to measure and what a model, a mathematical model, would look like and how to test it and go back and forth.
And for you, what are the questions that you still really want to answer? What are the known unknowns for you?
The known unknown would be basically the question of the purpose of streaming. Of course, it may not have a single purpose, but basically, why have cells engineered these large-scale flows? Are the flows themselves just byproducts of a transport process, or do they play a particular role in the self-organization that happens? This is often the case, it appears to be, in development of the body plan of higher organisms. And we'd really like to have a connection between the microscopic action of the motor proteins that go whizzing along these filaments and the flows that we see. It's not a very straightforward connection, because fluid mechanics is complicated and the microscales are hard to see. But those are the burning questions.
That was Professor Ray Goldstein from Cambridge University.